Psalm 56, we're going to read verses 9 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 56, verses 9 through 13. After I'm done reading, I'll pray. The junior church choir will come in. They'll sing, and then I'll come back and preach. Psalm 56, verses 9 through 13. Let's again read this responsively. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. And let's finish on verse 13. Ready? For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the ability to come to church and hear it taught and preached. And God, I pray that you'd help us today. Help us to pay attention. Help us to listen. Help us to get what you have for us today. And God, I pray that you just be a blessing. Lord, part of me just wants to stick up for you a little bit today. I'd like to defend you a little bit. I'd like people to understand how great and wonderful you really are. So help us in our hearts and our minds to listen with the Holy Spirit teaching us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Let me keep your Bibles open. I'm going to share a truth with you today that I really believe not only will bless you, but it's going to change your attitude. I'm going to start by saying this. I am not God. I know that's a surprise to you. I don't claim to be God. I am God's man to deliver his words to you. I am not to give you my opinion. I am not to give you what I think. I'm to give you what God says. I am simply to preach the pure words of God and have nothing to do with it. In the book of John, Jesus looked at John the Baptist, or somebody looked at John and said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm a voice." And I am a voice for the preaching of the word of God, and that's all that I am. Now, listen to the next few minutes. If you miss the next couple minutes, you're going to miss the entire sermon. There is a lot of bad teaching about God. Now listen to me. I want you to look this way and pay attention. There's a lot of bad teaching about God. People, and I'll use the term religious people, say things about God that just are not true. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But it's been said for so long and by so many that most people believe what has been said. Now, I'm going to give you a truth today that has been taught the wrong way. I don't normally teach you what the wrong thing is, but I got to tell you what's wrong so I can tell you what's right. Amen. Here's the truth that is not true. God is in control of everything that happens. This is very untrue. That statement is why many people get angry and bitter with God. That's why people get upset with God when bad things happen. Everybody doing okay? Say, "Preacher, lightning didn't strike." No, it's not going to, because I'm preaching it the right way. God made you, created you with a free will. He did not make you a robot or a computer. Some of you are MS-DOS, but you didn't think I knew that, did you, Brother Barnes? It's the only word I know in computer language, amen? Now, wait a minute. God made us, and pay attention to me, God made us to fellowship with him because he wanted to be with us. Now, listen to this. He did not force us to be with him. You know, God doesn't force his way on anyone. God never came down and grabbed you by the back of the neck and shoved your face down and said, "You got to get saved." God doesn't grab anybody by the nape of the neck and shove them down and make them do anything.
That's right.
Now, God did not make you to sin. Girls, listen to me. Just pay attention up here. You're not bothering anybody but me, and that's bothering everybody then, all right? And I'm not mad at you, but I need you to pay attention. God did not make you to sin. But man chose to listen to Satan and sinned.
Yes, sir.
God did not make us to sin. I tell people this as they face those hours of death. It seems like the body is struggling. No, the body is doing what it was made to do, to live forever. God made your body to live forever.
That's right.
Sin is what the battle is. Sin is what brings death. For the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
And that came by sin, not by God.
That's right.
Satan brought that to man. God brought life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what?
Life.
Oh, not death?
No.
Huh. So, when man chose to sin, he listened to Satan. That was not God's fault.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Because we're all sinners, this took God's control away from everything he planned. God had to curse Satan. God had to curse man. God had to curse woman. He gave her man. He even had to curse the very earth on which we live. You realize that God placed a curse on the earth? That's why I don't get wound up either way about, well, you need to go all natural. Or you need to go to the doctor. Did you know the same stuff comes from the same stuff? And it's the same cursed earth? Half of the natural food store is nothing but weeds, and that's part of the curse. Everybody doing okay? I'm not mad. I don't care if you chew tree bark or take an aspirin. Doesn't matter to me. Let's not criticize each other over it. There's not one better than the other. Whichever one you want to do, that's fine. I have no problem with it. But don't get wound up thinking, well, it's got to be all natural. Well, you say, well, that was made in a laboratory. But everything that was in the laboratory came from the earth. Same place you got your tree bark and swamp water. You say, well, vinegar. Did you know vinegar doesn't happen naturally? That's pre-wine. It's fermented juice. You don't go out and just get vinegar in nature. You have to distill it. Hello? We doing all right? Boy, that one shot holes in a few things, didn't it? You say, well, shouldn't I do? I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm just saying be careful criticizing somebody. It all has a curse on it. And guess what? Healthy people die too. I don't know anybody that is 200 years old. Now listen to me very carefully. Nothing is the way God originally wanted it to be. If it was, we'd still be in the Garden of Eden and have the same opportunities that Adam and Eve had in Eden. We, in our sin, listening to the devil, messed up God's control.
Yes.
Now, listen. When man faces the consequences, the pain, the opposition, and the death due to us all being sinners, we seem to blame God for it. God has a purpose. It must be God's will. Well, God's in control. Those are all false statements at that point in time. God does have a will, but it's not for you to go through bad things. And God has a will for you, but it's not to have cancer. That's due to Scott's sin. I got a smile out of her at least. You can't tell me that Ann having cancer is God's will. You can't tell me her having cancer is God's purpose for her. You can't tell me that her having cancer was in God's control. Everybody doing okay? Now listen to me very carefully here. God didn't sin. We did. So why is it then when these bad things happen that, well, it must have been God's will? Miss Kim, that car, that drunk driver that hit you years ago and you've had trouble with your neck and your back ever since, I don't think God planned that for you. That was a result of sin. And not necessarily hers, somebody else being stupid drunk. Why do we put all this on God? Why do we blame God for all those things? Don't you think that a perfect, holy, righteous, wonderful, omniscient, omnipresent God could do better than what we're doing? Just because we choose to sin, guess what? That takes God's control away. Now, the sun still came up. It'll go down. Rain will come. Rain will go. The sun will come. The sun will go. But guess what? There's going to be another day. It doesn't matter who's born or who dies. Doesn't matter who gets sick. Doesn't matter who gets good news or who gets bad news. Everything that God set in motion is still in motion. We can predict what time the sun will rise, when the tides will be up, when the tides will be down. We know what the seasons are by how we go around the sun and how the stars change their formations. They don't change. We change as we go around them. All those things were put in place by God and are eternal. But the actual individual events are not created by God. Not until we get to the millennium will this world be run the way God wanted it run. And honestly, not really until we get to the new heaven and the new earth will it be exactly the way he wants. But I want you to notice something. Look at Psalm 56. Look at verse number 9. I'm about to shout, Brother Aaron. When I cry unto thee, shall mine enemies turn back. Watch this. This I No, watch this. These next words ought to encourage you. For God is for me. Amen. Did you know God is for you? He's not against you. Amen. Did you know that God is for you? God says, I am for you. God is not out to get you. God is not out to hurt you. God is not there to hate you. God is not there to punish you. God said, for I know God is for me. Can I tell you something? God's for me. He's not against me. I am sick and tired of God being blamed for sickness, death, and pain and tragedy. God is for me. He's not against me. God doesn't bring bad into your life. Sin and Satan does.
That's right.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm a little tired of insurance companies and the world and the news calling hurricanes an act of God. It's an act of Satan, not an act of God.
Right.
Satan is the prince and power of the air.
Yep.
God made rain. But not in the Garden of Eden. It was a result of man's sin. Didn't rain until Noah. Everybody doing all right? Now he created the wind circuits. He created the water table and the water circuits. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 talk about both. Talked about the rain falling on the mountains and running into the rivers, into the seas, and returning back to the clouds in the sky to start that water cycle all over again. God told us exactly what it was in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Talks about the winds having their own circuits. We're in an La Nina pattern for winter. By the way, mild winter. You're going to have a mild winter. Can I tell you something? You say, why? Because the upper level winds aloft are staying north and they're not pushing south. That's what they call a La Nina pattern. It means milder. Good chance it'll be wet, but it's going to be rain and probably not snow. And I butchered enough deer, no fat, going to be warm. I butchered four deer already, and I could put all the fat on their back inside the palm of one hand total. It's going to be mild. The hides are thin, and God gets his creation ready for the weather. So, well, I don't care what you want. I can just tell you what God did. Amen, Brother Steve? Then God doesn't lie to the critters. Now, us hunters do. And I let three of them live last night. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Let's quit blaming God for the hurricanes and the tornadoes. That's the devil. And I'm just, can I be real honest with you? That's man's stupidity to some degree. Do you ever notice how close to the water people build their houses and then wonder why their houses flood out in those big storms? Well, it's not like you didn't know the potential was there. Maybe you ought to use the God-given sense God gave you. We build major cities right on the water and wonder why who in their right mind is going to live in a city that's below the water level, like New Orleans? And then they want to blame God for the hurricanes that come in. Well, this is an act of God. Well, your God, the God of this world, but not the God of heaven.
Amen.
Let's quit blaming God for it. So, God is for us. Can I tell you something, Christian? God is for you. God's not against you. He's for you. Let me give you some thoughts here. Number one, God does not leave us or forsake us. Turn to Deuteronomy 31. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. Almost the last chapter of it. Deuteronomy 31, look at verse number 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6. The children of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. And I want you to know what God tells them. Look at verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Can I tell you something? God won't fail you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. Hebrews chapter 13, almost to the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 13. That proves men ought to make coffee. Hebrews, not Shebrews. Unless it's Brother Joe and he can't make coffee. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. These are precious verses here to me personally. John chapter 14, look at verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Look at verse 3. I skipped it. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Skip down to verse number 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now look at me for a second. Keep finger there. Do you need a comforter when everything's going good? You need a comforter when things aren't going so well, right? Look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Can I tell you something? God does not leave the Christian comfortless. God does not leave us. He does not forsake us. You say, why? Because he is for us. The moment someone gets saved, let me tell you what happens. When you go from trusting your own goodness and your own righteousness
and your
own ability to get to heaven and realize you're a sinner, that Jesus came and paid your price for you, and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell because I'm a sinner, but I trust what you did to take me to heaven. The moment you do that, something takes place. It's called the new birth. And what happens is this, not only does God write your name in heaven, not only does he forgive your sin, not only does he remove it from your account and add the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your life, but the Holy Spirit of God moves in to your body.
Amen.
I'm going to unteach you, Jesus doesn't move into your heart. The Holy Spirit moves into your body.
Yes, sir.
It's not Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. My Bible says Jesus is set down at the right hand of the throne of God right now. It is the Holy Spirit that moves inside you. And it is his spirit that renews our spirit, John chapter 3, and gives us the new birth. By the way, he stays inside us. He indwells us. That's what we read in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. He said that the Spirit would not only just come to you, but he would be in you. Now watch this. God cannot leave the saved person. God cannot leave the saved person. You say, why? Because the Holy Spirit's inside you. You want to shout? That means this. If you've been saved, you can never be unsaved.
Amen.
Because God can't leave you.
Amen.
You can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
Well, I haven't lived like I should. Doesn't matter. He is living inside you.
Amen.
Did you know the moment you trust Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven no matter what you do?
Right.
You didn't do anything to get it but receive it. You can't do anything to lose it. You didn't write your name down in heaven. God did.
Amen.
You didn't put Christ's righteousness on your account. God did. And he moved the Holy Spirit inside you, and you never have to wonder whether you're going to heaven or not.
Amen.
Man, that's enough to make a Methodist want to shout. Can I tell you something? God is for me. God is not against me. God's not holding me hostage. God said, if you get saved, I am for you. Whew. But God never promises a problem-free life. These people that get up say, well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. They're false prophets. False doctrine. Look what they did to our Savior. Did it all go good for him? We must face the consequences of our sin on this earth. But we will never face judgment for our sin in eternity. Let me say that again. We must face the consequences of our sin while we're here on earth. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. Guess what? We're all going to die. Proof, you're a sinner. We're all in a process of death. The moment a child is conceived, they start dying. That's why they can die in the womb. That's why they can die at birth. That's why you can die as a child or a teenager or a young adult or a middle-aged adult. Or a senior adult. Or somebody as old as Brother Mike. Now, wait a minute. Listen to these two statements. His promises. He promises to be our comforter. He does not promise to be our preventer. God never said I would be your preventer from all bad things. He said I would be your comforter. He never promised to be our avoider of difficulty, but he promised to be our guide. Too many people want God to prevent and avoid all the bad and blame him when it happens, but it's not God's fault. It's ours as sinners.
That's right.
Turn to Psalm 48, just back a few pages where you were. I want to show you something. I read this verse recently, and honestly, I thought about preaching a whole sermon on it, and someday I probably will. Everybody look at me for a second. I'm about to show you something that could help you. I'm watching two people in our church right now go through this. I want to show you something. Psalm 48, look at verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto what?
Death.
Oh. Notice he said he would even guide us to death. He'll take us through that death process. Jimbo was talking to the doctor recently, and they said, well, your time is limited. He said, you're not in control of that. God is.
Amen.
He said, you don't know when I'm going to die, neither do I. He said, you might die before I do. He said, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you? Gotta love them tough old rednecks. Can tell you something, he's not trying to avoid it, but he's letting God guide him through it.
Amen.
Notice it says, I will guide you even unto death. Well, I just don't think it's fair, preacher. I don't understand why God doesn't prevent. God never promised to prevent. We must face the consequences of our sin. God would not be just if you didn't face the consequences for your sin. And God's not going to sacrifice his justice for you. God is not in heaven pulling all the levers, making everybody's life miserable. Yet that's what the average religious broadcast on so-called Christian radio or Christian churches is teaching today. Well, God's in control. You just have to, eventually you'll see what God wants in all this. That's a bunch of garbage. He said, well, what about Romans 8:28? And we know that all things work together for good. He didn't say all things were good. God said he would help you find what good there is in what little good there is in the problems that you're going through. My mom dying last year, it'd be a year next week. Hard to believe, isn't it? December 16th. Just a little over a week. That was not a good thing. Mrs. Diener, same day your husband passed away. That wasn't a good thing, but can I tell you something? We got some good out of it. Some people got saved. There's a booklet sitting out there about death. We've given hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of copies away to help people. So God helped us salvage what good we could. It didn't bring my mama back. Didn't bring Mr. Diener back. It didn't change the heartache and the pain. Everybody doing okay? But we were able to find what good we could in the situation, and God worked it out to help others. Hey, that's God finding good in a bad situation. But God didn't cause it. Sin did.
Amen.
So, God will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
You say, why? Because the moment you get saved, he moves inside you. He moves inside you, called the Holy Spirit of God. Number two, God is not against you. If you're saved, you're his child.
Amen.
Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look at verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Guess what? Brother Scott, if you're a son of God, and Brother Aaron, you're a son of God, and Brother Chris, you're a son of God, and Brother John, you're a son of God, that makes you all brothers.
Amen.
Now, Brother Chris, you're another brother from another mother, but it's all right. It doesn't matter. That means once you get saved, you're in the family of God, and God becomes your father.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Turn to Romans chapter 8. And just to make sure that everything is squared away, Romans chapter 8 comes into play. And look at verse number, let's start back in verse number 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. Now notice those two different spirits. Spirit of fear has a small s. Spirit of adoption is a capital S. Who is the capital S spirit? The Holy Spirit. The spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Notice it says that we may suffer with him. He never promised you everything was going to be all right, but he did promise you eventually it's going to be all right. He never promised to prevent problems, but he said, I'll be for you and I'll put the Spirit of God in you so that you can get those things. And not only that, but you're going to be my child. You'll be born by the Spirit, but I'll also adopt you into the family, making you double secure for eternity. Guess what? You can't get out of it any which way you wanted to. Na, 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 na. Did you know I could go out and murder somebody? And I'm not doing it. This is illustration only, all right? But did you know that if I did that, I wouldn't cease being the child of my mom and dad? Did you know you can't be unborn?
Amen. Yes, sir.
These idiots protesting abortion is saving lives. Justice Sotomayor saying that a fetus inside the mother's womb is nothing more than a brain dead blob. That is one evil wench. She is a tool of Satan. Wicked as Satan himself. And if you looked at that face, you'd understand. Say, well, what happened? That is murder. Isn't it amazing? A lady can go 20 weeks. They can remove that baby from the mama and keep that baby alive in a NICU. And that baby can grow up and be a normal human being. But you can murder it inside the mama and it's okay. I'll guarantee it. How many of you in here were born prematurely? Raise your hand. I know there's a few. Brother Aaron, you made up for it big time. How big were you when you were born? Like 4 pounds?
4 pounds, yeah.
Man, his lunch plate's bigger than that now. What was that?
Stephen was two.
Whew, God bless you. That's smaller than a wash rag. Now, wait a minute. Look what God can do. But you can go ahead and murder it and it's all right. That's saving lives. No, God is our Father.
Amen.
Not only by birth, by the Holy Spirit, but by adoption for eternity.
Amen.
Now, if you are not saved, he wants you to be saved because he wants you to be his child. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Why? Because he wanted man restored to God, and man is apart from God due to our sin. Now watch this. Why in the world would a God who loves us want to be against us? Do you know I love my kids? I'm not going to be against them. That would be evil if God was against you. If I'm going to say it. And if God gave you cancer, God would be evil. God didn't give you cancer. It comes because of sin. I told you it's Scott's. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't mean it's a judgment for her sin, but we're all sinners. Now, watch this. Therefore, why do we blame God? Well, God, why'd you do it? Or we make such foolish statements as, well, God, you could have prevented it. No. He'd have to prevent all bad circumstances then. We have to face the consequences of sin. Who made you, God, to decide which consequences to hold back and which ones not to? Well, I know bad people that don't die of cancer. Yeah. Thank God Ann one day is going to heaven.
Amen.
The lost person needs more time to get saved. God gave us a Bible to help us prosper and be close to Him. It's not there to beat you over the head with. God gave us a Holy Spirit to guide us, and He gave us His Word and a preacher and a church to help us learn it so that He could guide us better while we go through those difficult days. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't get mad at me. I'm going to look at it so I don't look at you, so you don't say I'm talking to you. The more you miss reading your Bible, the more you miss preaching in church or don't use them, this means the more you're going to you'll feel God is against you.
Amen. That's right.
Say why? Because you're not there to let Him guide you. You're not using Him to guide you through it. You're looking for a prevention instead of a guide. And you're not satisfied. Remember the story about Mary and Martha and Lazarus? Jesus was only a few miles down the road, and they sent for Him and said, Lazarus is sick unto death. And Jesus waited 4 days before He left and went to go see them. Lazarus died. They put Him in the tomb. And when He got there 4 days later, He said, why y'all so upset? And they said, well, Lazarus is dead. They wanted Him to heal Lazarus, but Jesus wanted to resurrect him.
Amen.
They saw only a healing. Jesus saw a resurrection. Now, wait a minute. They could have got mad. And some of them did. He said, well, let's go to the grave. They said, pull the stone away. They said, oh, Lord, behold, He stinketh. Have you ever smelled a dead body after 4 days in the heat? You put one of them deer carcasses in a garbage can 4 days in 100 degree heat one time, and my wife was about ready to leave me forever. You could smell it from 3 blocks away. I opened the lid on that thing and it was all moving in there. It was not a good thing. It was enough to make you churl and hurl, let me tell you. You couldn't have told the difference. Now, wait a minute. They said, behold, He stinketh. He said, that's all right. Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, this guy wound in death clothes comes wiggling out the front door and says, grrr. You say, some people have said, well, why did He say Lazarus come forth? Because if He would have said come forth, maybe all of them would have come up. I don't know. Wait a minute. The more you miss reading your Bible, the more you miss going to church, the more you miss not listening to God's man, the more you're going to blame God for the things in your life because you're not letting the Holy Spirit guide you.
Amen.
It's you going against God, not Him going against you.
That's right.
You're kind of like the one guy in the marching band that's going the wrong direction and blaming everybody else for missing the turn. Y'all are going the wrong direction. Have you ever thought maybe it was you? Oh, no, not me. Number three, and I'll finish. Sin, Satan, and sinful man is what is against you.
Yes, sir.
sin, Satan, and sinful man is what is against you, not God. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see something here. If you've been in church just a few months, you've heard me read this passage before, but you're going to see it in such a way today that'll be so clear to you. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Uh-oh. You find the first perversion of Scripture. Satan said, you don't have to listen to God. You won't die. Verse 5. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as what? Gods, knowing good and evil. In other words, if you do eat of that tree of the knowledge of fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you could be just like God. And you can decide good and evil for yourself. You don't need God to tell you. You could be your own God. Sounds like America today. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. I want you to notice something. Adam was standing right next to Eve. Why is Adam attributed to the sin and not Eve? Though she ate first, he didn't keep her from it. It's his job to protect her.
Amen.
His job to tell the devil where to go back to and tell him to shut his big ugly face up. Chop that snake's tail off right behind its ears.
Amen.
Now look at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife did what? Hid themselves. Huh. Sin separates us from God. I want you to notice something, though. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? I love the next verse. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. Not only did Adam blame Eve, but he blamed God for giving him Eve. Never once did he blame the devil. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now look at me. Satan and sin has been at man since Genesis chapter 3. I might make a statement here. Satan doesn't care what happens to you. He just wants to hurt God.
That's right.
Don't think of yourself as being so holy and righteous that you feel a satanic attack. Most of you don't even qualify for a satanic attack. Probably nobody in this room has ever faced Satan himself. You are no match for him. You face the effects of sin and evil, but probably not Satan directly. Now listen to me very carefully here. Satan doesn't care what happens to you. He just wants to hurt God. You think this life is all about you? Uh-uh. Life is about God, not us. Sin causes a separation from God. Isaiah chapter 14, we won't take time to turn there. When Lucifer was in heaven, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the seat of the Most High. I will be like God. The Bible says that God cast him down to hell. And there was a separation from all those that followed Satan into hell. By the way, that's why there is a hell. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But that death isn't just your body dying. Romans chapter 20, verse 14 and 15 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is now found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I tell you something? There is something far worse than death here on earth. It is eternal death in hell. And it is sin that causes it. By the way, that sin and that punishment was created before man. God doesn't send anybody to hell. Man chooses it by not getting saved. Now listen to this, and I'm just about done. God is so much for us that he made a way possible for us to miss hell. Not only did he make a way possible for us to miss hell, but he put inside every believer the Holy Spirit to guide us with the Word of God and the man of God preaching the Word of God at the house of God to help us. I'm not lifting me up. I'm lifting God up today.
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. I'm about to shout. 2 Peter 3, 9. Here it is. One more page. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means God wants everybody to get saved. God doesn't care who you are. He wants you to get saved, because if you don't get saved, you'll die and go to hell. And that's not his fault. That's your fault. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Can I tell you something? God made it all available. Why do we reject it?
Amen.
God is for us. He's not against us.
Amen.
He wants us to be his child. And may I say something? The only thing keeping people from doing right is sin. And that's so that we steal God's praise and glory. That's so we steal attention away from God. God made us to fellowship with him. Let me ask you a question. How much time have you spent with him? How much time have you spent with him? We talked about music in Sunday school today. I wonder how much music is about man's body and how it makes his body feel, and how it makes his emotions feel, but how does it make God feel? Oh, I just feel the music, preacher. It's got to be the Spirit. No, the Spirit doesn't make you jiggle up and down. I can take you to a rock concert and it has nothing to do with God and watching people jiggle all over the place.
Right.
Look like a worm wiggling in a rainstorm. It doesn't mean it's God. Godly music is about a doctrine and a message. It's about bringing honor and praise to God. And contemporary music is about how it affects your body and your soul, your feelings. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's better than, oh, eyes, da, 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 and sing the same words over and over and swing and sway. Look like a doojigger on a grandfather clock upside down. But I just feel so good, preacher. Yeah, and the devil said, that's good fruit. It looks good. It'll make you wise. It'll make you feel good. You could be your own God. Same message. So, God made us to be close to himself. He created us without problems. Quit blaming God for your problems. Amen. Quit making God look bad. I don't care if it's legal issues, work issues, whatever. God does not control every event in life. We sinful humans control much of it. God is willing to help us, but he's not willing to change them all. Today I feel like I just needed to stick up for God for a little bit. I wanted to defend God's integrity. Christian, God is for you. He's not against you. Matter of fact, the Bible says when your enemies are against you, just remember, God's for you.
Amen.
He didn't say he was going to make the enemy go away. He didn't say he would take the attack away. He did say, but I'll be for you. Huh. One of Satan's biggest lies is that God's in control of every situation. I don't care if that devil is wearing a backwards collar and a robe. I don't care if that devil is preaching from a Bible and calls himself the Holy Reverend. He got no better brains than a holy cow. Because God never said he would stop all those things, nor does he control all those things. But he did say, I'll guide you. I'll protect you. I'll comfort you. We'll go through these things together. I can't stop them, but we can go through all these things together. The greatest people in that book that you know all went through problems. Abraham, Joseph, Jacob, David, Noah, all of it because of sin, and God got them through. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the disciples, Apostle Paul, all of them were sinners. You find their greatness because of what they went through, not because of what they avoided. Maybe we ought to quit blaming God for everything. How about we start talking about how stinking the devil is? How about we start getting upset with the devil instead of getting upset with God? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ today, today's the day. If you've been saved and never have obeyed him, maybe today ought to be the day. Maybe you ought to join his church. It's up to you. I'm not here forcing anybody to do anything. But how about we just decide God's for us? He's not against us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.